Turn with me, if you would, back to John chapter 6. John 6, I see this message as a continuation of the Bible study that we just had. John 6, let's read verse 37 together. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I want to declare a message of sovereignty and comfort, according to the word of our Lord Himself. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I was talking with Brother Angus Fisher. As I just mentioned to you, we were able to meet and talk there at the conference. And he was telling me about some new people who were coming to the congregation there in Australia and how encouraged he was by it. And I asked him if he knew of any other congregations there in Australia that preached and believed the truth of God's absolute sovereignty in all things. Sovereignty in salvation, sovereignty in everything. And he said, "No." But he said, "If they are there, I know the Lord is going to call them out and make them known. If there are men and women there who do believe on the truth of God's absolute sovereignty," he said, "I know the Lord's going to call them out and make them known." And to that I said, "You're right. You're exactly right. And thank God. Thank God for that. All that the Father has given to Christ shall come to Christ." Aren't you so glad for that? There is great comfort in that sovereignty. That's a sovereign statement. All that the Father has given to Christ shall come to Christ. There's so much comfort in that sovereignty. God is a sovereign God. Oh, I want all men to know this. All men and women to know this. I really do. God is a sovereign God, and His grace is sovereign grace. There's no chance with God. Our God doesn't attempt anything. He doesn't try anything. He doesn't throw anything. He's not a fisherman, seeing if he can hook something or hook somebody. Our God is a sovereign God, and His grace is sovereign grace. Why do we call it sovereign grace? Why do we call it sovereign grace? It's because that's what it is. That's why we call it that. That's what it is. God's grace to sinners, His kindness, His favor, His love, His gift. God's grace to sinners is sovereign grace. What does sovereign mean? A sovereign is one who holds the highest position in authority, in control. To say that God is sovereign, what that means is, it means God Almighty is God Almighty. That's what it means. Almighty. It means He is the one who has the right and the ability to do what He wants with whoever He wants. No one can stop Him or question what He's doing. And the sooner we find that out about Him, the better off we'll be. Honestly, if He would reveal that to us and we would find this out about God, the better off we'll be. Our dear brother Henry Mahan, whenever he first heard the truth about God, he was sitting in a conference and there was a man preaching named Rolf Barnard. And Rolf, in the middle of his message, called him. He was sitting on the front row. And Rolf called him out and said, "Stand up." And he stood up. He said, "Can you quote Romans 8:28 for me?" And he said, "I think I can." He said, "Quote it." He said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And he sat down. He said, "Well, that's part of it. Do you know the rest of it?" He said, "Well, I think I do. Stand up and give us the rest of it." So he stood up and said, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." At the very moment that he said purpose, Rolf Barnard started screaming at the top of his lungs, Purpose. All things on purpose. With God, everything is purpose. He's not trying. He doesn't have a wonderful plan for anybody's life. He has a glorious purpose. It's all on purpose. He said, "Son, if we ever learn anything about God's purpose, we'll learn something about God. We'll learn something about salvation. We'll learn something about the gospel." Purpose. He does what He wants with whom He wants. We would all be wise to find this out about Him. The only way we will is if He sovereignly reveals it to us. May He sovereignly reveal it to us. Turn with me over to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Just after Ezekiel. This is where King Nebuchadnezzar learns something of God's sovereignty. Verse 29. Daniel 4, verse 29, it says, "At the end of 12 months, King Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" And that's what man naturally thinks concerning himself. "Look at what I have done. I got saved. I decided to accept Jesus into my heart. Verse 31. "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee.'" And that's what God says to every soul that He speaks this to. Your glory that you see in yourself is about to depart from you. Verse 32, "They shall drive thee from men, Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. This was the purpose that God was revealing to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I'm going to bring you down. And he does. He brings his people down. And he said, I'm going to do this that you might know that I give this to whomsoever I will. Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I didn't bless myself anymore. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Verse 37, he said, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. After Nebuchadnezzar saw his sovereignty, he cried, He does what he wants with who he wants. No one can stop him. No one can question him. No one can reject him. Don't we sinners cry, thank God? No one can hinder him in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because he's sovereign. It's because he's sovereign. Look with me at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9 says, Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And He has. He has declared the end, and He did that from the beginning. There are no surprises with God. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. He said, if I say it, it's going to be done. That's just how it is. Look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? He said, I will do my bidding, and no one will stop me. I get permission from no one. People foolishly say, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm honestly not, but it's just so. People foolishly say, men stand up in pulpits and so foolishly say to people, won't you let God? How absurd. How ridiculous. How foolish. He said, no one will let him do anything. He gets permission from no one. Why? Because he's sovereign. That's the reason why. He is God Almighty. Turn with me over to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Where is He? Verse 3, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's sovereignty. God can do whatever He wants to do because He's sovereign. Now, what did He want to do? He can do whatever He wants to do because He's sovereign. What did He want to do? What did it please the Lord God to do? Well, according to His Word, it pleased Him to choose a people to save. You talk about thank God. It pleased Him to choose a particular people to save. And it pleased Him to give every one of those people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it pleased Him to give the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose a people and He gave them to Christ. And then it pleased Him to give the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. To give Himself as a ransom payment for the sin of all of those particular people. Christ made that payment with all of those particular people in Him. And with all of their sin being dealt with by God Almighty, I'm telling you, outside of Christ, we do not want to go stand before the judgment throne of God Almighty. We can't enter into the horror of what Christ endured, but that's what a man or a woman will endure outside of Christ. Christ received what was owed to His people. Thank God, with all of the sin of God's people being dealt with and put away in Him, it pleased Him to gather every single one of those people to Himself, to give them life, to give them peace, to give them hope, to give them deliverance, to give them safety, to give them freedom, to give them rest. That's what it pleased him to do. Let me show you that over in Romans 8. Turn with me over to Romans 8 and we'll see that that's what it pleased the sovereign God to do. Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow," that word foreknow means elect. God elected a people to save. And just run with me to a couple of verses here. Look at verse 33. It says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" God has an elect people. Look with me at chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." Elect, election. Look at chapter 11, verse 5. Romans 11, verse 5 says, "Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace." Verse 7 says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded." So God has an elect people that He chose to save. And it's a people that He foreknew. That means knew before. Set His love and affection on them before the foundation of the world. Back in chapter 8, back in Romans 8. Verse 29 says, "Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son by way of the operation of redemption. And the Father did that so that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called." He predestinated them to Christ, to bring them to Christ. "And them He also called in Christ. And whom He called, them He also justified by Christ." By the cross of Christ. By the suffering, by the punishment, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "Whom He justified, them He also glorified." He raised up by the resurrection and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" What shall we say to these things? The answer is nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? The answer to that is nobody. He's the sovereign God. And if He accomplished all of that for us, nothing and no one is capable of opposing that accomplishment. Not even me. I can't even ruin it for myself. People are always saying, "You better stop or you're going to lose your salvation." Not according to the sovereign God. He said, "They're in my hand. I'm in my Father's hand. Nobody's taking them out. I purpose to save them. None of them are lost." Verse 32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It's God that justified. Nobody can even accuse. "Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God accomplished a work of salvation for a particular people, and that work is finished. That salvation is complete. And this is how you can tell who He accomplished it for. Every one of them, all that the Father gave to Christ, shall come to Christ. Every one of them shall believe on Christ. Every one of them shall bow the knee to Christ, the High King of heaven, the High King of them. Everyone will hear the voice of Christ. Everyone will fall in love with Christ. Everyone will follow Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them. Go with me back to John 6. I'm almost done. John 6, verse 37. All, and that means all, thank God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not some of them, all of them. If we belong to Him, we're coming. No questions asked, no doubt about it. We're coming. Come unto me and be ye saved. That's not an offer. That's a command. It's a command to all of God's people. They are all going to be brought by the Spirit. They're going to be led by the Word. They're coming. Verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. God does not beg His people. Do we want to know whether or not we're hearing the voice of our God? God does not beg His people. If we hear the command of His Word to sinners, then we're hearing the voice of the Lord our God. He does not beg His people. He sovereignly lays hold and brings His people by powerfully, irresistibly drawing His people to Himself. With His cords of love, He sovereignly draws His people to Himself. We read this in the Bible study. Our brother read it just a minute ago, but look at verse 44 again. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's how men and women come to Christ. God sovereignly draws them to Christ. And when God purposes to draw a sinner to Christ, that sinner had better get ready because he or she is coming to Christ. When sinners come to Christ, this is what they find. They find that their just God is also their Savior. Isn't that glorious? Our just God is also the one who saved us. They find that their judge is also their advocate. That's glorious. The one who all judgment has been given to is also the one who says, I paid for that. They find all their peace, all their assurance, all their security, all their righteousness, all forgiveness, hope, acceptance, grace, mercy, everything. And it's because they find this right here. Verse 37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will own you. I will have you. I will keep you. I'm not ashamed to call you mine. If we have a heart to come to Christ, the true Christ. I don't know who God gives this heart to, so we preach it to all men and women. But I tell you this, if God gives us a heart to come to the sovereign Christ, the true God, God manifest in the flesh, if we have a heart to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Father drawing us to Him. The Father draws us to Him. That's the Father drawing us to bow to Him. That's the Father drawing us to worship Him. If we have a heart to worship Him for who He is and what He's done, that's the Father drawing us. And if the Father draws us to Christ, then let's take comfort in this right here. He will in no wise cast us out. I love those three words. In no wise. For no reason. Under no circumstances, we will never be able to alter or change the purpose of our sovereign God in the salvation of our souls. He will in no wise cast us out. Let me close with these verses. Verse 38, He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Thank God for His sovereignty, Him giving us and bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear His voice. Obey His draw. Come to Him. He won't cast you out. He will not cast you out. He'll give you rest. All right.